And a good Friday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass on the ones and twos. What's going on, everybody? How you doing?
What's up, man? Here we go. Friday, the last Friday before Christmas. Rolling to the weekend. Everybody's already checked out, including the Kennesaw State football team, who was getting beat. Was it 27-0 like halfway through the first quarter? And whatever, the Myrtle Beach Bowl, they were getting, and it is now 34-0.
Okay, so I learned something yesterday, and I don't even know if I know the answer, but apparently the Music City Bowl has the record for the most points scored by a team in, like, the first quarter or the first half, and it was Auburn.
2019, right?
2019.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
How many points did they put up?
I don't know, man. It was, I remember going to that game because they played Purdue.
Yeah. Right. Because that was Brom, right? Or was that before Brom?
Yeah, I don't remember, man. It might have been Brom's last. Was he gone to Louisville after that?
He hadn't been at Louisville that long.
He's been Louisville at least since 20. He's been there 22.
That was his third season at Purdue.
Okay, so he was there.
Yeah, and then.
So he came.
Yeah, he was there then. Yeah, He was there in 21, 22. I think 22 is his last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's been at Louisville now. This is his third year, 23, 24, 25.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, the bowl season, there's a bowl game started at 10 today, and Kennesaw State's getting beat 34-0 by Western Michigan. Isn't that where Corey Davis went, Western Michigan?
Yeah, I believe so.
Number five pick in the draft. Yay.
And that, how'd that work out?
I thought he was okay. Corey Davis was fine.
He was fine. He just won the fifth overall pick.
Was not. And do you remember who they took in the second pick that year?
Adoree Jackson.
Adoree, who's still playing.
And do you remember who was taken with the 10th pick that year?
That'd be one Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, that was Trubisky.
Second or third?
Who was number one?
Baker or was it Baker? No. Oh, gosh. Come on, man. Put me on the spot there. Who was number one? Oh, Myles Garrett, right? I'm going to keep throwing names out there until you look it up.
All right, so what year was that?
The 2017 draft. Corey Davis was 5. Adoree Jackson was 17.
Myles Garrett. Yeah.
Myles Garrett, number one.
Myles Garrett, Trubisky. If you tell me who the third overall pick in that draft was, I will give you something.
Do I get a clue?
Stanford.
Oh, God. It's not Tiger Woods. It's not Tommy Vardell.
You want the position?
Yeah.
Defensive tackle.
From Stab, I have no idea.
Solomon Thomas.
Who? Where'd he go?
I have no idea. I don't remember that name at all.
Who drafted him?
San Francisco.
Oh. Watch, we look him up. He's like, yeah, 6-time Pro Bowler. I'm like, never heard of that guy.
Like, I don't remember him. He played for the Cowboys. He's with the Cowboys.
Look at you, and you're a Cowboys fan.
He's on the Cowboys. And I have no idea who this dude is. That he was the third overall pick in the draft in 2017. He's 30 years old in his 9th season with the Cowboys. He was with San Francisco for 4 years, the Raiders for 1, the Jets for 3, and now the Cowboys. He's only started 1 game. So
in his career?
No, this year.
Oh, I was going to say, good Lord. Good for him if he's been in the league.
He's
that
only
long.
Started 35 games in his 9-year career. So
looks like Western Michigan just ran a kickoff back or a punt. And we're going to give you play-by-play, folks, of the Myrtle Beach Bowl today. Western Michigan to score up 41-0. Good.
Okay, so here's the fun part of just – we'll use this draft just to kind of like how hit or miss things can be. So Myles Garrett, Hall of Fame resume is beginning. Like,
yeah.
Like he's looking pretty good. I'm making sure my Chinese food is here. Mitch Trubisky, bust.
Right.
Solomon Thomas, third overall pick, bust.
How do you, is Trubisky still in the league?
He's a backup somewhere.
Still getting paid millions. Yeah. So I get he's not a bust, but still. I mean, it's.
Thank you, Connor.
At the number two pick, he's a bust. I understand that. Then Solomon Thomas third. Who's fourth?
Jacksonville Jaguars took this player.
In 17. I don't know.
17. Running back.
Gosh, I don't know.
Go Tigers.
Oh, Leonard.
Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
He was okay. He's out of the league. Again, I don't think any of these guys, except for Myles Garrett, fit where they were taken.
Yeah. Who won a Super Bowl with the Bucs.
Yeah. Corey Davis, fifth. Do you remember who went after?
What school?
LSU.
Do not.
Jets took Jamal Adams.
Oh, that's right.
Chargers took at seven Mike Williams, the receiver from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, looking pretty good. Running back from Stanford.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yep. This guy was a bust. Bengals, ninth overall, took wide receiver John Ross out of Washington.
We've talked about him with Chris Sanders.
Yep.
Because he went and ran a 4.2 and everybody went crazy for him. Guy couldn't take a hit. Couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie.
Yep.
Didn't know how to run routes, but y'all got so drunk because he ran a 4.2 and now he's terrible.
Patrick goes 10th overall, then Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun Watson, Hassan Reddick, 14th overall. I wish this guy's – I mean, he's still in the league, I think, but I wish his career had been better. Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
Malik Hooker, Marlon Humphrey.
Wait, where was Malik Hooker from?
Ohio State.
Okay.
He went to the Colts. Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, Jonathan Allen from Alabama, defensive tackle. Then Adoree Jackson, 18th over. He was 18th overall. My goodness.
Adoree Jackson?
Yeah.
I mean, he had a great career at USC, was Rose Bowl MVP, ran the punt back against them versus Penn State. I thought Adoree Jackson could have gone fifth instead of Corey Davis.
Yeah. Well, I tell you who I wanted them to take at 18 is the guy that went at 19. And his career didn't turn out like we hoped, but O.J. Howard. I loved him in Alabama.
Is he still in the league? He went to Tampa, right?
Yeah. Is he still in the league? He is. No.
Nope. Do you know what John Rambo wanted?
What?
For us to love our country as much as we loved it.
Yeah, well, that's. Thank you for that. But anyway, I mean, there's Jabril Pepper, Reuben Foster, T.J. Watt. That was T.J. Watt.
He's been in the league that long.
30th overall.
He's been in the league 9 years.
David Njoku was taken at 29th overall.
Who's that guy?
Tied in from Miami with Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
He's still in the league. Taco Charlton.
Taco.
Tre'Davious White. He's pretty good.
Where is he?
He was taken by Buffalo. I don't know if he's still there, but corner out of LSU.
Yeah. A lot of those guys, you know, you like after the first 10, like, oh, okay, get on down. And
yeah. This is a fun little exercise to kind of look.
It is, Pat. Yeah, good job there, buddy. And then so that'll be here. And it's funny that you talk about the draft. Schefter, for some reason, put out 30 minutes ago that going into 26, the Titans will have more money in the cap than anybody else.
Yeah.
Over $100 million, which doesn't mean anything because they've shown they don't know how to manage the cap. So we'll see.
Well, look, it's all about, to me, you build through the draft. You build your key positions through the draft. You supplement with free agents. And look, they might be able to find an offensive weapon or two with free agency for Cam Ward, which is – that's supplementing. That's good. But, you know, you need to go draft a receiver. I swear if they don't draft a receiver in the first three rounds, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to point my finger at them.
You're like, what are you doing?
Like, draft a bleeping receiver – in the first three rounds. I like the two you got in the fourth round. They're good. I think
did we not spend time like the last number one receiver taken in the draft overall, number one?
Oh, wow. Number one overall.
The last receiver taken number one overall.
I have no idea.
He ran his mouth so much that John Gruden told him to hit the road.
Oh, Keyshawn.
Now, that's what there might be one after that.
I think there might be.
But he was number one in 96. Great receiver, USC. Remember, he went to the Jets. They got rid of his mouth. Then they went to Tampa Bay. They couldn't stand
his mouth. I think
he
might be the last one. Keyshawn in 96, Irving Fryer in 84.
Fryer was a flame out. Great at Nebraska.
Dave Parks in 1964.
Oh, Dave Parks. You know what he's doing now? I don't know.
Yeah. What's he doing now? All right, here you go. I can tell you right now how many have been. Now, guy you liked, back in 1948, Harry Gilmer, he was both a halfback and a wide receiver out of Bama.
You know what happened to Harry Gilmer?
I know.
He got one time he had an old-fashioned, and it didn't sit well in the stomach, and he never played again.
Okay.
It happens.
There have been three wide receivers taking number one overall.
And that's it. Those guys, that's
and
it?
Keyshawn's the last one.
Holy cow, man. That crazy?
Yeah.
I don't even know who the number one receiver is in college football right now. Who would you take number one?
Well, it's probably the kid out of Ohio State that's still got another year.
Yeah, Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams, has he regressed a tad?
He's regressed a lot. He only had, what, 600 yards on the season? Roughly under 700?
Well, I guess now, all the mock drafts I see are that Reuben Bain guy from Miami. But how well, I mean, if he could do something and then Oladejo could come together, I mean, then you got two great ends rushing the path. This Abdul Carter stuff in New York for the Giants is pretty bewildering, how a complete jackass he is, and he's no good. So for all those who said, oh, you should have taken the Giants pick and taken Abdul Carter, they can't stand him.
So
they can't stand him in New York.
I just pulled up a mock draft from USA Today. And they have, with the number one overall pick, a proposed trade that the New York Jets trade with the New York Giants and take Fernando Mendoza. Have those two teams – I'm sure they have, but, like, I feel like it's rare for the Jets and the Giants to make a trade.
I'm trying to go back to my immaculate grid head about when you got players played for both. And I'm sure there has, and I can't remember one right now that has. God, I'm sure there's an obvious player who played for both the Giants and the Jets, but I don't know. That's fine because you're not helping the team in your division. I mean, that's another team in the NFC versus the AFC.
A lot of these still have the Titans picking three, and they have Arvell Reese, the linebacker, defensive end out of Ohio State.
Okay, I need a defensive. I don't need a line. I need a defensive. I need you
an edge rusher. That's basically what he is.
I need you. By the way, there's no more defensive end. That's gone. They're not called that anymore. Yeah. It's your edge rusher.
They got Carnell Tate going fourth overall to Cleveland. I mean, is he somebody? Like, if you're picking at three.
Who is that guy?
He's a wide receiver. Ohio State. He's the second guy.
Okay.
Like, Smith is better, but Tate's not bad.
You go wide receiver, defensive end.
Yeah.
I mean, if this Reuben Bain dude in Miami is as good as they say he is, I give me a defensive
I like
end.
Him. He's fallen. Like, they got him eighth. Like, there were some mock drafts earlier in the season that he was, like, second.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But I like him.
But do not draft an offensive lineman. Do not draft an interior defensive lineman. Do not draft a linebacker.
Nope.
I need a playmaker on this Tennessee Titans football team.
100% agree with you. 100% agree. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, what is our question of the day?
All right, so I've got friends who left this morning at 6. They headed to Norman, Oklahoma to watch Oklahoma play Alabama today, a road trip, and they're coming back tomorrow. What's the longest one-day sports road trip you've ever taken? Day of. The longest. Not flying, driving.
But back, down and back?
Down and back. You'll come back. I mean, they're coming back tomorrow, but the day of, it's like a 9-hour drive for them to get over to Norman, Oklahoma. Left this morning. One day, the day of, the longest sports road trip day of you've ever been on.
Probably our buddy Chris Childers and I did this a few years ago. Got up at like 5 in the morning on Sunday. Went, picked him up, drove down to Atlanta, went to the race at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, and then drove back.
Did you decide that morning?
We decided the day before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the day of, you drove all the way. That's only, what, a 4-hour drive, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's 8 hours total, you know, if you're in the at the race. So, I mean.
So, no, you don't have to come back, but the day of. The day of, the longest drive day of for a road trip. Now, Dr. Crane, you did what, Starkville?
I think so.
Baton Rouge, what'd you do?
Baton Rouge, yeah. It was like 8.5 hours. But like myself driving, it was probably to St. Louis. I got up at like 3:30 to watch opening day. It was like Albert Pujols' last day in St. Louis. So that was.
Did you decide that last second?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Went with my grandmother. I've always wanted to go on a road trip with my grandmother, and so we did it.
Mine is, it's not sports, but this is 1993. Me and the coach, a friend called and said, hey, I've got extra tickets to go see Garth at Texas Stadium. You want to drive down? It was like 7 in the morning. I was like, yeah. So we left at 7 in the morning, drove all the way to Dallas, watched Garth do Texas Stadium, and drove back the next day at the spur of the moment. So friends headed out to Norman, Oklahoma today to see Oklahoma take on Alabama tonight in Norman, Oklahoma. And the first round, the College Football Playoff, I'm really excited about this football game.
Yeah, I think this could be the best one.
Really excited.
Yeah.
Because the rumors are still out there. If DeBoer loses, he's gone. To Michigan, it's the intrigue with everything that goes on.
Yeah, here's the thing, and Sean Henry's going to join us at 2:30, so we'll be able to talk about new Minority Predators owner Nick Saban, who's going to speak on Monday. But I will never believe another coach again when they say, "No, I'm good, I'm happy, I'm staying here." Because Nick, how many times did Nick Saban say, "I'm not taking the job at Alabama"?
Yep.
You know, and guess what happened?
Took the job. You can't believe him.
I still think one of the greatest what-ifs in college football history is what if Rich Rod had actually taken the job? Because remember, Rich Rodriguez was offered.
He was.
And I think accepted. And then he backed out.
He tried to finagle for his assistants.
Yeah.
To get more contract. You know who an assistant on that coaching staff was?
So that was West Virginia? Don't tell me. So this is like 2005, 2006.
Five, six right in there.
Oh.
You better. If you don't get this, I'm eating your Chinese food.
Jimbo?
Mm-mm. His first name is Lyle.
Oh, Butch.
Butch Jones.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
Was all part of it. Yeah, so if Rich Rod does not goes to Alabama, then none of this.
Yeah.
It's crazy. None of this is happening. And now Rich Rod's back at West Virginia.
Yeah, which is probably a good fit for him. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoundHound.com. And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. More Chasing Big Joe here on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Our question of the day, Joe, is...
what's the longest sports road trip you've ever taken? Friends are headed out this morning to see Oklahoma take on Alabama in Norman, Oklahoma today. What's the last spur? The spur of the moment, long road trip you take to see something go on. It don't have to be sports. It could be a concert or something. Just I love spontaneity when people do things like that. So I think it's really cool that my friends are like, hey, we're going to leave this morning, hit the road, and go to Oklahoma and see the game tonight.
Ben says, in 1996, my dad, my brother, my mom, and myself – went to St. Louis to watch the division series against the Padres. We left at 5 in the morning to watch the game and then drove back afterwards.
Heck yeah. See, there you go. You made memories doing that. Even Dr. Crane stuck in the back of a luggage compartment going to see LSU play Mississippi State?
Yes. Yep.
Dustin in Hopkinsville has called in. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, man. Yeah. Merry Christmas, guys. Hope y'all have a
you
good
too.
One. Hey, my longest sports trip, I did it twice, and it really isn't that long, but I guess it is. Talladega, the one where Regan Smith got forced below the line by Tony Stewart. Regan won that race. Y'all can kiss my ass if you think any difference.
No, you're right. I'm with you.
And we sat second row, was eating rubber at the start-finish line. I told my wife that morning, I said, hey, I'm getting tickets, and we're going to drive down there. It's really early. She was 7 months pregnant. Let's just say the walk back, I regretted every bit of it.
she made sure of it.
A state trooper seen her pregnant, and she started crying. He gave us a ride to our car, so that's pretty
nice.
Awesome. The second time, on Friday night, I called my mom, and I wanted to take my stepbrother. He was 6 at the time. And we went to the one where Carl Edwards' car dang near flipped into the stands. And that one's pretty good and drove back. But the longest trip I ever done, my Yukon broke down 2 summers ago in Gulf Shores. And we left it there and had to get a motor ordered. and sent to a shop. We were at their expense. And we had to wait to about a week and a half to get the motor. And it, 2 weeks later, me and my buddy, we drove my Nissan Altima down there, my wife's. And within about an hour, we had a car hauler, you know, not a trailer, a hauler. And I took my non-broken engine, my Yukon, and I hauled that dude all the way back. And we did it in less than 20 hours.
That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
I would do it again. My buddy's younger than me, and he's spry. And I was like, let's get a hotel. And then he wanted to drive, and I don't trust anybody. So I was like, nah, I'm driving. And I was falling asleep the whole time.
Attaboy. Well done on that.
Very nice. Thanks for the call, Dustin.
Yeah, John Bill.
You too. Doug wants to weigh in. What's up, Doug?
Hey, happy holidays to you guys.
You too.
My 1 day turned into about 4 days. Back in 96, I was at a family function of my girlfriend then, wife now. I was bored, and I said, I'm leaving here, and I'm going to the airport. And as I saw there on the TV in the hotel lobby, that scalp tickets were pretty cheap on the street at the 96 Olympics. I said, I'm leaving here, and I'm going to the Olympics. He said, like right now? I said, like right now. I drove to that airport. I rented a Blue Grand Am limited edition with the lean back seats. And I got down there and I bought scalp tickets. And then 1 day turned into another day. I couldn't find anywhere to get a hotel. Of course, you know, the 96 Olympics was pretty free for all. I hooked up with the NBC team and they thought that I was an athlete and just said, hang with us. Seriously. The tickets that I bought when I got there was a guy that had a fan full of tickets. You know how scalping was back then. He looked like Grizzly Adams. And I said, I just need one. He said, I'm selling two. And I said, two? He said, I'm only selling them in pairs. So I had two. And looking at this guy, I'm thinking, I just bought some junk tickets. And I said, let me have the best two. I said, if I'm going to be able to keep them, I want one for a souvenir. He said, well, let me give you this one. It was for kayaking in Tennessee. He said, you're not going to kayaking, are you? I said, no. He said, well, this will be a good souvenir. You won't ever tear the stub off on it. So I'm thinking I got three tickets that are probably printed at a Xerox machine somewhere. Some lady runs up. She purchases one of the tickets for double what I gave for it. I turn out to be in the General Motors suite of the track and field events. I stayed so long that I just slept in a car on the last day of an underground parking. The guy said, get ready to leave. I said, yeah, what I owe you? He said, nothing. He said, I've been watching you sleep in this car every day. You've been spending money in this town? I said, yeah. I said, he said, why'd you choose this underground parking? I said, because you're right there in that attendance spot I missed. You know, best security in town. He said, where are you getting baths at? I said, man, I go to these fancy hotels. I walk in, I look like an athlete, and I stay ahead of the cleaning lady, and I take the first room that she's clean. I jump in there, take a shower, and I leave. Best 4 days of my life.
Good Lord. You should write a book. I'm fascinated by this. You should write a book about this.
It's the most exciting thing that I've ever done, minus the birth of my firstborn.
Dang, man.
Man, that's a fun trip.
And so, I wish I would have stayed for the closing events because those guys said stay. I said, man, I said I've lied about work long enough. I got to get back to Tennessee.
Hold on, Doug. Back up real quick. You took a shower after she cleaned the room?
Yeah.
How did you get in the room?
Because they keep the doors open for somebody to come clean later. So I just jump in, take a shower, and leave.
This is maniacal and absolutely wonderful. God bless you.
I almost got caught once, and she said, I'm sorry, like she walked in on me, and really I walked in on her.
Oh, man. Thank you. This is great, Doug. Thank you, brother.
Thank
Merry
you,
Christmas.
Doug. Merry Christmas. Appreciate it.
God almighty.
Let's squeeze Eric in real quick before we get to Coach Rod Reed going to join us. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. This is not my main story, but I'll get to that in a minute. I happen to be at the last final ball game in Riverfront Stadium when the Phillies played the Reds. I went with friends that day, but that's not my main story. My main story was me and a bunch of friends, we drove down to Texas Stadium. We left on a Friday night, got down there Saturday to watch the Dallas Cowboys when Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin played for them. This one, Barry Switzer was the coach. Had a great blast of time, but also got to meet a guy because one of the things I used to do was call the Dallas Cowboys sports station on WAI out of San Antonio that would pick up in Nashville. And Drew Pearson was on the postgame show with Marco Arstano. I got to meet Drew Pearson, got his autograph, and the funniest thing was, I'm not making this up, this is a celebrity encounter. his first words out of my mouth were, he said, "Eric, you know on the phone that you sound like a white guy." I said, "No, well, obviously I'm not." But the guy, Mark Oristano, actually used to work here in Nashville. He used to work for Channel 5, so he knew Chris Clark back in the day and some of the other people worked Channel 5. But that was my most exciting thing. And the thing that's so wild about it, we had to run to catch the bus to get back to the hotel to drive back to Nashville, which we got back Monday morning. We almost missed the bus, which means we would have had to walk about an hour to get back to the hotel, but we just barely made it.
See, isn't that a great memory?
Yeah, it is.
That's what we're talking about. Thank you, Eric.
Guys, y'all take care.
And thanks, Eric. To you. Appreciate it. Coming up next, Rod Reed, longtime head coach at TSU, and his son Marcel will be playing in the college football playoff for Texas A&M. Tomorrow we'll talk to Rod. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday. College football playoff going to get underway tonight with Alabama and Oklahoma. And then at 11 o'clock tomorrow on 102.5 The Game, Miami and Texas A&M. And the quarterback for Texas A&M, of course, is Nashville's very own Marcel Reed. And his father, Coach Rod Reed, joins us now here on the program. Coach, how the heck are you?
I'm good. What about you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us today. I can remember back when you would do a weekly with Greg and Big Joe, and Marcel would be in the back seat as you took him to school. And now he's getting ready to play in a college football playoff game. I know you have to be very proud.
Oh, yeah, we are. We're very proud.
So when are you headed down, or are you already there?
We actually have a place down here. We just got here.
Very, very nice. So what, if any, conversation have you had with him, as he gets ready to take on a really good Miami team?
We haven't had much conversation. You know, just talk about things that kind of the basics that we talk about every week is, you know, doing the things that it's going to take for him to be successful in the game, is taking care of the football and making sure you're moving the chains and, you know, playing smart.
Coach Rod Reed's with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Coach, thanks for taking my call today. I appreciate you. You know, we think the world of you. What's this ride been like this year for your boy? I mean, the game up in Notre Dame, I'm sure you're on pins and needles. You know, even though you came up short in that Texas game, just the environment and everything. What's it been like watching your son on this big stage this year?
Well, you know, I try to stay even keel. But, you know, it's been exciting, you know, just to see him compete at the highest level and do it at a high level. You know, it's been really, really cool to see.
That Notre Dame game, how nervous were you? How excited were you? All the environment, Saturday night, I mean, your boy's out there taking on Notre Dame. It's sometimes you pinch yourself?
A little bit. You know, it's a little surreal sometimes. But, you know, he competed – at a high level, you know, all of his life, you know, playing at NBA and, you know, playing at that level is no easy task. And, you know, he just kind of carried that same mindset over into college. Although the game speeds up a little bit, I think he's adapted well.
I know he had committed to Ole Miss out of high school, then went to A&M. What does he love about A&M? Because I got to tell you, watch those games on TV, 105,000 people there. I mean, and they're all cheering your boys' names. What's it like watching those games at Kyle Field?
Man, that's one of the greatest environments, if not the greatest environment I've ever been in. And, you know, we've been to a lot of college stadiums, but it rocks in that place, man. And it's always electric. The fans are always, just on the edge of the seats. It's hard to sit down and watch a game because everybody's always standing up yelling. So it's a pretty cool environment.
Now, wait, aren't you a Texas guy? Then you grew up in Texas?
I did grow up in Texas. I grew up in East Texas, in Marshall, Texas, and most of my family now lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Are they all coming down tomorrow for the game?
They try. You know, you only get 6 tickets, and those playoff tickets ain't cheap. So, throughout the year, I think everybody's in the family has got an opportunity to witness a game. And I think I have a couple of sisters and a niece coming down for this one, and his aunt from Florida is coming. And, you know, my wife and my daughter, Bria, who works, she's the assistant director of on-campus recruiting at LSU. She's here for the game tomorrow.
We're talking to Rod Reed, his son Marcel, with Texas A&M. So, you know, obviously you've enjoyed watching Marcel over the last few years, but, you know, what have you been doing? What do you miss about coaching?
you know, just the camaraderie, man. You know, being around the coaches, figuring it out. Attacking game plans, and you know, working through the ups and downs of the season. And those are the big things. But you know, I think this time, God's timing is always perfect. And I think He set me aside to be able to sit back and enjoy this ride and watch this.
Got the Hurricanes tomorrow. Do you talk to Marcel about not about opponents, but about approaching games? You know, advice. I mean, how do you keep Coach Reed from Dad Reed?
Marcel is like any other parent. You know, nothing we say is right. And somebody else can say the same thing to him after I've said it 5 minutes before, and it sounds like, you know, Nick Saban told it to him. But we do. We talk. I always ask him, probably on Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, what are they giving you? What do you see? You know, what coverages are they running? Just kind of those things, getting the ball out, being on time, things of that nature. But, we can talk football a little better now since, he's in college. When he's in high school, he used to hate to ride home with me after the game. He'd ride home with his mom, so he wouldn't have to listen to me. But now, you know, we have some decent conversation about football scheme and, a game plan and the way they plan on attacking stuff, you know.
We're talking to Rod Reed. His son Marcel's a head coach at Texas A&M. Here's the greatest compliment I have heard about your son. Was from other coaches, prep coaches here in Nashville, talking about your son. They're like, I don't care where he goes to college, just as long as he doesn't come back to NBA. They're like, just let him go. We're tired of seeing him. We're tired of getting beat by him. Let him go off to college. I mean, so watching your progression of your boy from junior high to high school coach and now to Texas A&M, it's got to be this wonderful journey for you, just watching this young man grow up. I mean, you see him every day, but grew up in front of your eyes and now leading Texas A&M. It's got to be wonderful.
Absolutely. And, the amazing part is I don't really think he scratched the surface of how good he can really be. I think he's still developing. That learning curve comes a little fast when you're thrown in the fire. And he had an opportunity the last six or seven games last year to get a lot of experience. And this year kind of carried that over. And I think, the sky's the limit for him.
What are you doing tonight? I'm curious because the game is at 11 o'clock tomorrow. I'm sure you'll tailgate in the morning. Like, will you see Marcel tonight?
Yeah, he's actually upstairs right now getting ready to go to the facility. We just walked in and he'll be leaving here in a second, going over to the facility to, I guess, start meetings and whatnot.
Well done. Coach, I know you're busy. We love you, man. Thanks for taking a few moments to talk to us. Good luck tomorrow, and we hope we see you in Miami in late January.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, and giggle.
There you go.
Thank you. Coach Rod Reed joining us here on the show. He'll always be coach to me, a long time at TSU. But good luck to Marcel tomorrow. It's getting started. I mean, I'm the – closer we get to kickoff for the game tonight, the more excited I get because I think we're going to see some good football. I hope we do because if we don't, if they're all blowouts, then that's just going to be more fodder for people to, bang on the committee. And in some ways, maybe they deserve it. But we'll talk about that and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It's always about great service. College football playoff getting underway. Tonight you can hear Oklahoma hosting Alabama starting at 6:30.
On the big dial here?
Yep.
Love it.
102.5 The Game.
I cannot wait for tonight. I'm so excited. I think it's really cool. It's a great game to have at Norman. To have the first playoff game this year on campus like that is – give me something. And I tell you, man, according to my friends, I mean, Oklahoma, Norman is on fire right now. And they're ready for tonight.
I think Oklahoma wins that game. I know a lot of people are going to pick Alabama. But I just think at home, that atmosphere, this could be, Oklahoma's year. Yeah. They're a 1.5-point favorite.
Oh, that's not a lot. So basically pick him there. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see the Alabama team that won four straight over the top 25 opponents, or we're going to see the Alabama team that got punched in the face by Oklahoma. I mean, and the one that Georgia took to the woodshed. I mean, I don't know what we'll see tonight, but, man, I mean, this could be something for if the rumors are still out there about DeBoer. I mean, if it's – I know he squashed them and said, we're not going to – I'm here for the long haul, but you lose that tonight. We know Alabama fans are. They ain't going to be happy with this.
By the way, you brought up Lyle earlier. Congratulations to them for winning the Xbox Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Last night.
34-28, Missouri State.
34-28. So he finishes. I think he gets a nice little bonus.
7-6.
7-6. Don't you sleep on Arkansas State and one Lyle Jones.
Old Butchie.
Don't do it. It's just funny, man, because
the funniest thing ever would be like Michigan would proudly like to introduce our new head coach, Butch Jones.
Could you imagine that? He ain't built for that.
No.
He ain't built
Everybody would be like, what?
My favorite Butch Jones moment was after Juwan Jennings' touchdown catch, the Hail Mary, when he had the headset on.
The Dobnell boot.
And he just put down, like, to one knee, like, oh, my God. This is my malpractice. We won this game today. And it was
Is that his
else.
Biggest win at Tennessee?
I think the Florida win, same year, because he had not beaten Florida
oh,
in a while.
Oh, that's right. They did beat Florida.
Remember, they were down 21-0.
2016?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Juwan had a good game. Who was a receiver from Station Camp, the wide receiver? Do you remember Dr. Crane?
Jalen Hurd?
No, he went to Beach.
Yeah, he went to Beach.
Station Camp.
Josh Malone?
Josh Malone.
Hey, that's Parker back there.
Yeah. Best, man. You're not paying attention. You're the best. Yeah, Josh Malone had a great game. That was a fun. That was fun. I mean, they were rolling. Remember they went down and played A&M and got beat by A&M in 2016. Yep. And then it was the South Carolina game, man. That was the one which knocked him out of everything in 2016. They ended up playing in the Music City Bowl, and then Derek Barnett broke the sack record, beat yep. Reggie White. Still a good year, but they were there, man. They were so close. That's also the year when Kamara stepped out of bounds against
yep.
Vanderbilt.
Yep.
4th and 10, I'm going to step out of bounds 9 yards short of the first down marker.
According to the Google machine and the great work by Dr. Crane back there, his bonuses include incentives for wins over an AP top 25 team, $5,000, $25,000 for a bowl appearance, and $50,000 for a Sun Belt championship.
So we got 25 grand last night.
We're going to the bowl.
There you go, Butch. Proud of you, buddy. Still sticking around. I mean, that's what he's been there since 21 or 22.
Yeah, and I mean, Arkansas State's had, they've kind of been like Western. You've had either up and comers or reclamation projects come. I mean, Gus was there for what, a year?
Yep. Get to the bowl game.
There's somebody else.
Blake Anderson was there.
Yeah.
He's now the coach at Southern Mississippi, man.
Coming up, so Kennesaw State scored. We're proud of them. They're losing to Western Michigan 41-6 in the fourth quarter in the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Presented by whom?
I don't know.
It's presented by Engine.
Oh, Engine. Nice.
What is that?
What kind of engine?
Yeah. What is Engine? Dr. Crane, you know everything.
I believe Engine is what you put in a car.
I'm gonna come there and stab you in the face.
Please don't
know,
do that.
He could be like Coach Hines.
Cromwell little Media does not condone any kind of massive
Myrtle here. Beach Bowl presented by Engine. Who's in the Pop-Tart Bowl? That's still the best one now.
When is the Pop-Tart Bowl soon?
It's Georgia Tech and somebody.
BYU.
BYU? That's a fun bowl, man. Well, when is it?
I'll look it up in a second. But we got another bowl after this one.
Oh.
Coming up this afternoon down in Tampa.
Is that the Gasparilla Bowl?
There's a Gasparilla Bowl. NC State going to play Memphis.
Oh, man. I was going to go to that game down there, but I got last night at the Mid-South Coliseum. I got a little too tipsy, and I took a couple fine ladies back over to the jungle room, and I didn't sleep a wink last night, man.
You know, Gasparilla sounds like Priscilla.
Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Man, I said, Priscilla. I said, I was Gasparilla. And she said, what'd you say? I said, Priscilla. And she said, Gasparilla. Oh, man, now you got me. That's all I can think about.
NC State, a 3-point favorite in this one.
It's so odd when coaches leave.
Yeah.
Like if Silverfield had stayed at Memphis.
Is he coaching this game?
He is not.
So
he's gone.
He bounced.
Yep. He's gone. So an interim goes there. It's just I don't know what the stats are throughout, but coaches that leave and somebody else coaches the team. Yeah. That's why I'm interested about Ole Miss and Tulane. How does Ole Miss come out tomorrow? Because Kiffin's gone.
Yeah.
But I think four coaches have come back, are now helping out coach Ole Miss, then we'll leave and go back to LSU.
Right.
Like Charlie Weiss Jr., I think, is coming back.
Yeah, he did.
And a few of those. So
I see. I always think it was fun that, like, you know, Barry Alvarez did this a few times. Bob Stoops has done it. Like, you get the legend to, you know, come back and be the interim for the bowl game.
Let me ask you this then. If DeBoer does go to Michigan, now there's nothing out there that says he will, but if he does, who coaches Alabama? All the coaches
are
gone.
Like, if they win?
If he leaves. If he gets beat tonight and he goes, I'm going to take the Michigan job, and goes to Michigan. I don't know why his name keeps coming up for Michigan. Does he have a connection there? I don't know why.
Yeah, he was connected to them when he was at Washington for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, they beat him.
I think he coached at like Central Michigan or one of the others.
So who gets Alabama? All the coaches are gone.
That's a great question.
That's leading into what you're talking about, Stoops.
Yeah.
Does Daddy come back for 1 year?
No, I don't think so. If I'm them, I think I could see Lincoln Riley. Go try and get Lincoln Riley to leave SC.
That'll be bad. They'll
come
take
back
that.
To the, you know.
That's a great one.
Because, like, you're not, like, Dabo's stock, I think, is way down. You know, you could go that route, but I don't think that'd be a popular move. Jimbo, no. Like, any of the guys that are sitting out there, you're probably not going to take them.
Jimbo.
Now,
coming back home.
I wouldn't roll it out, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think if you're going to go try and get somebody that is
Jimbo,
a hot name.
You imagine Jimbo at Tuscaloosa.
Oh, they'd hate it. I think the fan base would implode.
I don't know. If you're going to come back and try to reclaim some of your glory, Alabama's go do it. But I think Lincoln Riley's good. Leave USC for Alabama.
Because look, I think it was a bad move for them to move to the Big Ten. I think they're way down in the totem pole right now. I think he's a good coach. But I think if things don't turn around this year, he's out. So stay one, as you like to say, stay one step ahead of the jailer.
Yep.
And if that job opens up in Tuscaloosa, you jump on it.
100%.
Now, I do think more people would be interested in it now than they were 2 years ago.
But I wonder, like, Cristobal, I mean, he coached at Alabama, played at Miami. I mean, so would he want to go back there? Who knows?
Well, the other one could be Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning could leave Oregon.
Look at you. You're like a young Jerry Sexton or Jimmy Sexton, whatever the hell his name is.
Jerry's the cousin.
I didn't even think about Dan Lanning would be great.
Dan Lanning. I mean, Lincoln Riley would be an interesting one. Dan Lanning is probably the one.
Yep.
Because then, you know, Oregon will do what they always do and just like, you.
Yeah. Remember that dumb Willie Taggart took that Oregon job for a year and left to go to FSU. They got fired there with FAU. Now he's a quarterback or something coach with the Ravens.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning's the one. You go after Dan Lanning.
Yep. He's probably the one with the highest stock.
And then I bet they'd pay him $15 million a year.
Yep.
Good, this is ridiculous.
It'd be a king's ransom because Will Stein's gone now. He's at Kentucky. He was the OC at Oregon. So you got to figure Phil Knight's going to throw literally the bank at him.
You know who I would – I'm going to throw a name at y'all, and you're gonna laugh, but I think it's a perfect fit. If this scenario happened, who I would go get for the Oregon Ducks, Dr. Crane's favorite coach, Dan Mullen. Go get him out of UNLV. Give him like a, you know, sweet deal. See what happens. Have the Phil Knight money.
I really don't think he would take it.
I think he would.
I mean, when I saw the Dan Lanning Chevrolet commercial when we were in Vegas, I was like, he's there now. I mean, he's about Vegas.
The Dan Mullen, you mean?
Who did I say?
Dan Lanning.
Yeah, Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
The Dan Mullen Chevrolet dealership commercial. His wife got something cool, a cool deal out there, too. I mean, the pressure at Oregon, oh, man. Well, you made money?
UNLV job's only going to last for so long. I mean, the resources there are minimal. I mean, in comparison to everything else. Like, if he plays his cards right, I think they could be a playoff team next year. Because he's bringing back Calandria, his quarterback. But a guy like Calandria's, you know.
To Oregon?
No, not to Oregon. I'm saying at UNLV.
How do you know so much about UNLV?
I'm a Dan Mullen
fan. That's what I'm saying. He loves Dan Mullen.
I love Dan Mullen.
So if I'm Dan Mullen, I'm staying in Vegas. I'm not taking these pressure dumb jobs.
Right.
I've got it made.
I'm saying after Calandria leaves and a lot of that recruiting class is gone, why not go to Oregon?
Chase McCabe and I saw Dan Mullen literally 3 minutes before kickoff taking pictures on the sidelines with boosters.
Yep.
He's got it made.
And he plays in an – here's the thing. He plays in an NFL stadium.
Yep.
That's very nice. But I could see him taking Oregon. I could see it. So, I don't know. 615-737-1025. We'll have more with Chris Sanders next. 1025 The Game.